Hey everybody, it's Blake.
And this is Drew.
And you're listening to Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers podcast.
Welcome to episode 91 of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers. We hope everybody enjoyed our last episode with our guest Texican. We had a great time talking to him. We've had a lot of fun playing games with him and everything too. So if you haven't already, go check out all his internet stuff. You should call it. It's all in the links or in the previous episode. So go get involved with all of that. And we're get involved with all our stuff too. So I'm going to go into all our social stuff here in just a second. For this episode, we're going to have two games and I think a TV show this time. So we're going back to our normal format. Before, we'll be doing the different format next week too, because next week we're going to do another one of our co-op endeavors episodes with our cousin Brian. So next week will be another strange one. But before all of that, let me run through where we are on the internet, and we'll get to the interesting part of the podcast after that. If you want to keep track of the podcast, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Of course, that's all the normal internet stuff. We do have a Discord that you can drop into and actually talk to us or talk about the podcast or anything you want to put in there. Our main thing besides the podcast itself is our Twitch channel. We've been doing a bunch of co-op stuff with our cousin Brian, who also edits the podcast. We call that Three Smoking Controllers Co-op Endeavors. We are currently playing The Division 2, which is us just going around capping fools. It's been a lot more fun than Monster Hunter. For some reason we weren't enjoying Monster Hunter Rise as a group. It just wasn't our jam, I guess, but we are, as far as I know, we're all enjoying The Division 2. So come follow us on there and follow us on the socials, because I post when we go live there. And then if you hang out for all our streams and stuff like that, we eventually, like we're doing next time, we're doing a episode where we talk about our adventures in whichever co-op endeavor we were doing. So I forget which one's next for that podcast next time, but it's coming up soon. We have a Patreon, like anybody who creates content on the internet. It's really just there to support the work we put into the podcast and pay for Devious Pixel when we get new art, like we did for our Texkin episode. So there's always that there. If you get the Patreon, you get the episode a week early, unedited, before Brian gets his grubby little hands on it. And if you want, we will let people, because we have really long, stupid names for our podcast, which is a joke for me and Blake only. But if you think it's funny and want to name an episode, you can do that if you're a Patreon. So get up in there, help us support this podcast. We're on Spotify for two things. One, the actual podcast itself is on Spotify. We're, I guess, technically our distributor now. They bought who we were distributing from, so we're owned by Spotify. But the Spotify also has our music playlist. I'm not adding to it this week, but I do put every song that I've ever played on the podcast is all in one place on a playlist on Spotify. So when you search the podcast name, both should come up there, so you can follow that little Spotify playlist. In the background now, you should be hearing some sort of background music of one of our couple, or just a couple of songs we have. If you want to hear your music on the podcast, submit it to our email address at the2smokingcontrollers@gmail.com, and we'll drop that in there for you. I'm trying to not be too picky about it, as long as it ain't something crazy with a lot of cursing or something in it. But we'll play your music on here and give you a shout out. We have a store where you can buy anything with all our little logos on it. We have stuff with the main logo and stuff with the co-op endeavors logo. I need to get on there and make just random things, or just shirts and stuff with all the different guest logos. I think people might like that.
So
I need
to
maybe get some guest logo shirts on there. I need to get up on there and do that sometime soon. So you have to like put that, actually put the shirts together and drop the art. You have to like create it. People know who are making shirts. You got to like put it together to get it in the store. So there's that. As I mentioned before, we have the email. It's 2smokingcontrollers@gmail.com. I always say the number 2 because it's not the word 2, but it's got people can be confused. I wonder if anybody's emailed us and tried to write out the number 2smokingcontrollers@gmail.com. That's a really long email address that doesn't exist. It's just the number 2. I made it really early and it looks dumb now, but you got to stick with it because all our podcast stuff is tied to it. We have another podcast that's piggybacking off of this one. That piggybacked off of this one. It's a full movie review podcast with Blake and our good buddy Steve. They do deep spoilery dives into the movies, behind the scenes, how it's made, the creators and the actors, and then the plots and everything else. Everything it's about the movie is discussed on that podcast. It comes out sometimes opposite this one, but it comes out as often as we can try to get it out there. So if you like to want to hear Blake talk more about movies and more detailed about movies, there's always that podcast. So look that up. That's actionthemoviepodcast@gmail.com. Whoops. That's the email for that podcast too. I do this for the other podcast too, so it all gets wrapped tied together. The last thing, of course, is Blake's short story he published on Amazon. You can find it by searching They Come This Night. It'll pop up right away. We appreciate anybody buying and reading and reviewing that. That helps Blake's little algorithm on the Amazon things. Links to all this stuff can be found in the show notes here. So if you don't feel like typing out our long podcast name everywhere you on the internet, just go on there and click on the little links and give us little follows wherever you can and keep track of what we're doing with the podcast. We post when we sometimes post when we record, but I mostly post when we're going to go live, and I post when the episodes and stuff like that come out. And you can write into on any of those things if you want to have your voice or opinion heard about the stuff we talk about on the podcast. So with that, I'm going to stop talking for a minute and let Blake intro our first of our 2 games, and we're going to get through this bad boy.
The first game we'll be covering is called Telling Lies. It originally came out August 23rd, 2019, and it is an FMV desktop thriller. And I'll explain what that means here shortly. It is developed primarily by a gentleman named Sam Barlow, who has, since then, he's created his own studio called Half Mermaid. He himself has been in the video game industry for a while, though he's only made by himself the 2 games, which is Her Story and this, and they both have a fairly similar game mechanic of where you're going through FMV, full motion video, live action videos, and you're detecting keywords and reviewing keywords and fast forwarding and rewinding in through videos.
I got a question. When did you do your notes for this?
A little while
ago. Back when we did it, mm-hmm. Because on the other podcast, Get Played, mm-hmm. Nick Weiger was talking about immortality. You have that on there?
I have it wrote on here, but I don't.
The Immortality actually sounds a lot like all his games when you're scrubbing through footage. Yeah. Immortality's on Game Pass right now. And I didn't know if that had even come out when you had done back when you had done your notes. We ain't gotta get into Immortality if you don't got no. Immortality is another game. Sort of like these 2 games where you're scrubbing through footage. The guy likes using He's an FMV guy. He likes using real actors and real stuff and crap and stuff like that. So if you're interested in Her Story, which was relatively famous, Telling Lies, which I don't think had any notoriety behind it. But if you like what this guy does, then there is a new game called Immortality. If Blake's notes come before the release of that. I think it came out pretty recently on Game Pass.
Yeah, both this one and Her Story were developed by him. This had a little help from another company called Furious B.
Okay, cool.
But they really only did the mobile version.
Yeah.
It's kind of what they helped with.
That's weird because Her Story is mostly a mobile game. You would think you wouldn't need help there.
Well, not yet, but I guess this is bigger. This is console, you know, so.
Maybe you developed console first this time.
Maybe. But Immortality did come out last year, 2022, and it was the first one developed under the Half Mermaid moniker.
Very cool. He has a thing he likes to do.
Yeah. But besides that, he's actually been involved in the gaming industry for quite a while. Mm-hmm. He is. He was the, what do you call it, creative director, lead director, as well for Silent Hill Origins and Silent Hill Shattered Memories.
Wow. I played one of those back in the day. I think I might have played Origins way back when. Those are the PSP games.
I think so, yes.
PSP games, yeah. I think they got ported.
Yeah.
Eventually. But anyway.
He was also attached to Serious Sam 3 and 4. Hmm. Those ones. He was attached to the Ghost Rider video game. That's, you know, no one really cares about those, them, intellectual property games.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call them. He was attached to the Legacy of Kain remake, Dead Son, before it was canceled. Hmm. In reference to that, he cited both, David Cronenberg's The Fly and Paul Schneider's Cat People on what a reboot should do when re-envisioning the story. And he was going to use them as references for rebooting Dead Son, Legacy of Kain series, but it just never came to fruition. They canceled it before it could come out.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see a modern Soul Reaver or Legacy of Kain game, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And like, if I didn't say it before, Sam Barlow is one man until he got half mermaid.
You sure he's just one man?
He's just one dude. And he's based out of Britain.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
And
if anybody knows, her story was quite a little phenomenon for a while. So that's kind of probably where he got a lot of work in the industry, but really made a name for himself with her story, I feel like. Which I haven't played, but my wife has. I got her to download it on the iPad, and she clicked and poked her way all the way through that game. We talked about it a little bit. I've heard about it on other podcasts too, including like Get Played and stuff like that. I've heard about it a couple of times. Maybe on Kain and Rents. I don't know.
A little background on the game, what kind of led to him doing this, because he wanted to do another thing like her story, but wanted to do something different, maybe more intense.
Kind of bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So her story is, if you don't know, is entirely one person. There's one actress.
Yeah. So what he did is he was kind of just going through a bunch of like archival research and video recording research, and he stumbled across an article, a fairly recent article actually. It was from at least 2008 to 2004 to 2012, but it wasn't reported on until 2014. So let me clarify that. All right, it went from the period of 2008 to 2012, as far as they know.
The footage that he had.
No. This is something else. Okay. Bear with me. And so it wasn't even reported on until 2014. Hmm. But he found something called Optic Nerve, which is a video recording program that was put out by MI5, which is the British Secret Service, mm-hmm. or Secret Service, or whatever. They're a British agency. And basically, it was only supposed to be for 6 months, but they found documentation from 08 to 2012, where they were doing a unsolicited, involuntary recording of anyone who owned a Yahoo webcam. The government did. And it resulted, supposedly, in just the first 6 months, it ended up being 108 million images. Because they were just, they weren't fully recording, but they were taking images. Mm-hmm. And once it came out that they were doing that, they got found out, and they're like, yeah, we couldn't. It ended up being like 11% of the photos they took were pornographic.
Yeah, I love that. But I'm surprised that percentage is so low.
Yeah, but some of it also, they had to immediately announce, because some of it ended up being kids and stuff. Mm. And they're like, uh-oh, we don't want to get in trouble. Like, we're not doing it secretly. We're just trying to, like, it was like it was supposed to be like a terrorist thing, mm-hmm. to help monitor terrorism and try to do that. But the shotgun blast was mostly.
What did they think was going to happen?
I don't know. They're stupid. But they didn't tell anybody until 2014.
They scrubbed all the porn out of there.
After they did everything. And so it's kind of a crazy thing. It's supposed to be an experiment in facial recognition technology and stuff like that to mm-hmm. do all these things. But it was only specifically through Yahoo webcams, which I thought was a strange thing to target. Because who uses Yahoo webcam?
Yeah, I'm sure Yahoo was involved.
Yeah.
You got a paycheck, a government paycheck of some sort to allow it.
But I just thought that was something kind of crazy that was worth noting.
Yeah. That's where you got the idea for the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really... As I said earlier, this is an FMV game. Full motion video where he used live, real actors and everything. Mm-hmm. The main four people that he used...
Yeah, we can't deep dive into all four of these characters.
I'm going to plow through them fairly quickly. We have Logan Marshall Green. Mm-hmm. who I don't remember the episode, but an episode of a movie I've recommended called Upgrade. He's the main dude in that, as well as he's got himself quite a few other things. He was in Prometheus. He was in The Invitation.
Was it Prometheus? In The Invitation? I watched Invitation. It wasn't very good.
Yeah. And he also has a big role in 24, the TV show 24 back in the day. Yeah, because I'm not going to do a deep dive in it. Boom. Just, you know, there you go. And he plays our main character, David.
Yeah, it's an ensemble. I think it's an ensemble cast.
It's following his story.
More or less, yeah. He's in a lot of the videos.
Yeah. So he's David. Mm-hmm. Then we have Alexandra Shipp, who is one of the female leads, and she plays Ava. And just real quick, probably one of the bigger things she's been in is she is in the recent iterations of X-Men, Futures Past, Apocalypse, and Dark Phoenix. She was, actually maybe it's just been Apocalypse. It was Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix, but she was Storm. And she went on to, and later she would portray Aaliyah in the Aaliyah biopic that would come out. Then we have Carrie Bish. She is from Halt and Catch Fire, which is that AMC show about like the creating the internet and stuff like that. She's a main role for, I think she appears in every episode of that. This is kind of cool. She would also go on to appear only in the final season of Scrubs, but she would take over as narrator and stuff like that as JD's like intro intern.
Yeah, what an awful job to have.
Yeah, unfortunately.
What, like, you gotta be taking that job being like, well, I'm doing this once.
Not knowing that it, yeah, hoping that it's going to go again. Yeah, but no.
There's just no freaking way that, I mean, it didn't, obviously, it died immediately, but what a terrible responsibility and job to have.
Only in the final season, yeah. Even the creator of the show had left at that point, so.
Yeah.
She was also in that Ben Affleck movie Argo, which she won like a award or something for it, too.
Neato.
Then our final one is a lady named Carrie Bish plays Emma. And then we have Angela Serafin, who plays Max, and she is kind of on the up and up right now. Her big thing right now is Westworld. She's appeared in all four seasons of that.
Did Westworld end recently?
I don't know. I do want to watch it, but I have not seen it.
So screwy with your head.
Yeah, she's also in, we'll just say that, because that'll be just a big thing so people know her in.
Okay.
And so our story follows, basically, David is an FBI agent who is going undercover into an eco-terrorist/domestic terrorist group, because their actions are escalating to that point where they need to be shut down because they're endangering people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ava is his entry point into there. He has to, like, you know, he's the person he has to get with to get into the, I forget what the name of the terrorist group. Now, Emma, played by Carrie Bish, is his wife, and they have a daughter together named Alba.
A real wife. His actual
actual wife. When he's, and then he has Max, who is his therapist / camera girl, who's the only person who's willing to talk to him later on in the story. Without ruining too much of the story.
Yeah, because it's this whole thing is story. We want to say too much about what's going on. I think you more or less want to talk about how you get through the game a little bit. And kind of, because this whole thing, we might... Spoiler, we might say a few things accidentally that kind of... I think we might be able to say something without spoiling, but explaining how the game works. Because we won't talk about this too much, because it's really just like a story experience that you got to get all the way through. And I want to say before we get into this, this is the first game that I've played entirely through the cloud.
No, you played on like a laptop or
iPad. I played on the laptop that I'm recording right now. I wanted, because the game is set up like you're at a laptop clicking on videos. I was like, cool, I could not figure out if it's possible to... I wanted to cloud it on Xbox, because it was on Game Pass, and you can, you know, cloud stream. And I wanted to play it on my laptop with a freaking mouse and type, because you got to click and type things, and it won't... Like, I can't... I don't know, maybe I'm stupid, maybe somebody can tell me how to make... I mean, I can Google it, but I was trying to, like, I wanted to play a computer game with my mouse, and it wouldn't let me, but I ended up clouding it anyway, because I had it on my laptop, so I would be able to move a controller and, like, move a freaking mouse around on my controller, I guess, as I was, click on stuff, and I was still able to type on the computer, talk about the words.
That's
and stuff.
Good, I was had to...
Like, manually type it on your...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that sucks.
It was a little longer.
So anyways, that's very... just to say, it's interesting to be the first game that I... played through the entirely start to finish through the cloud.
Like we said, it's a desktop thriller. And the reason it's a desktop is you're through some other FBI agent who's reviewing the footage afterwards to try to figure out what happened and why. And so as you're going through the footage, basically every scene is broke down from anywhere from like a 30 seconds to 5 minutes. There's some of them are a little long and kind of pointless. Now, there's some interactions with his daughter, Alba, which I probably, after like the first two, I started skipping through because it has nothing to do with the overall story. It's just him being a dad, which is, you know, it's character building, but then some of the other decisions he's making, you end up not liking him.
Yeah. He's not written to be liked.
Yeah.
So what's confusing about this is each video is one side of a conversation, which makes this kind of hard to cope with. I feel like, I don't know how her story plays, but I found this to be awkward and, what's the other word? Awkward and kind of draining to be like, listen to like somebody. So like when you're clicking on the videos, you're watching through a webcam, you're watching, say, him have a conversation with somebody and he stops talking as the other person talks, but you don't hear their talking. Eventually you'll find the other side of that video, but you don't know when you'll find the other side of that video, you know?
Yeah.
And it's cool and I get it, but like, be like an hour later, I'm like, oh, here's the other half of that conversation from earlier.
Or sometimes I wouldn't even remember. I'm just kind of like going, by the end of it, I was just kind of like, okay, go ahead and just say what you're going to say. And it got to the point where like, because there's other characters that appear besides the main four.
His boss, yeah. I'm sure you mentioned his boss. We like the actor who plays his boss.
Yeah, but he's only in like three of the scenes, I think. He's not.
A couple of them. He yells at him a couple of times.
Yeah. And then there's like his wife's mom appears in a couple of... She
randomly has dementia.
Yeah, they're still throwing some extra drama for no reason. So I would start skipping her scenes a little bit. You can't skip them. You have to fast forward through them. Because I would make sure I watched every video, because how it works is you do have to hear or listen for certain keywords to be said, because you are going into a search bar and typing in either the word David or Alba or FBI or
gun.
Yeah, you're typing in, you know,
and it pulls up every video or the top five or top three.
I think it's top five.
The top five where the
that word is mentioned in context.
Word is mentioned in context, which is kind of a really cool system, and I wonder how he programmed that to kind of work specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can stop, you can pause, but I didn't, which I would have liked to do. Which I think is the way you're supposed to play it, is like with subtitles, and you're supposed to have a mouse, and then you highlight a word and click on it, and you search more videos based off that word, based on the green. I couldn't play that way.
Keyword select, because would it highlight the word automatically, or did you have to highlight it? I think
you had to highlight the word, and you could highlight it and click on it, and it automatically gives you the next batch based off that word. I couldn't play that way.
Yeah. Like I said, it felt a little long. My game time was a little under...
Pull mine up.
I got the 1K, and it was in a little under 8 hours.
Gosh. There's no way mine's that long. Mine's always shorter than yours. What's kind of following a loose TA guide for this, I feel like? Where are we?
Oh, yeah, we followed a TA
guide. 8 hours?
I said 8 hours.
Mine says 9 hours and 43 minutes.
Maybe I gave... Well, I think you warned me in advance to skip Alba stuff.
Oh, I did listen to a lot more stuff than you did, yeah.
You told me to skip Alba stuff, and you warned me.
I was like, you gotta listen. You gotta like start skipping some of these people talking.
Plus, I think you... Because you were also playing on your... You struggled early on, tried to do it on your laptop and stuff like that.
Trying to figure out how to make it work right, yeah. But I got it figured out. But
you did tell me to go ahead and skip some folk, because you're like, this, God, it doesn't have any bearing on the actual story.
It's way too long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there's lots of good acting.
Oh, the acting is phenomenal. And like,
the story's actually not bad. Like, I think I won't, we're going to say, but I think I was somewhat surprised on how it ended.
The ending threw me. I was like, whoa. I wrote it down. I was like, maybe I'll talk about it, but it's...
No, let's not talk about the ending. It's pretty, it's like...
The ending's like the most, probably the best part. It's so messed up. And then he himself is... of like the acting for Logan Marshall Green has to do for David is crazy,
because you got to watch him like lie to his wife. The game's called telling, like, he has to lie to his wife, lie to his fake girlfriend, lie to this other random... We talked about the other actress who plays... She's not really a therapist. She's
a cam girl.
She's a cam girl that he kind of unloads some of his drama onto. There's more to that too. So he has to tell lies to her. He has to tell lies to his boss. I guess the key part of telling lies is him.
Yeah, he's lying,
he lies to his daughter, like, he has to lie to, and you're just watching, like, man, this guy sucks, but, like, it's like, is this the position he put himself in with this job?
Mm-hmm.
And, but he does do a great job, and he was, we mentioned on the podcast, if you haven't watched Upgrade, like, he's phenomenal in Upgrade. He's so funny and just entertaining, and there's a lot of movement jokes, a lot of physical jokes in that acting in that movie, too, that require him to be really good at that, but he is awesome in this. Like, I think everybody's pretty good, but he has I guess you're right, he is, like, the key role. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't think that earlier. He's, like, the key face for the whole thing.
It was episode, for us, it was episode 31, where I talked about Upgrade.
Oh, you found it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a heavily story-driven game that some of it's pointless and some of it's really, like I said, it's a thriller. Some thrillers aren't always for everybody, especially, like, is this even political?
This is like a thriller you have to put together too, out of order.
Yeah, non-linear. Also mentioned
that you have a word and you search the video and you hit play on the video plays from at the point the word is said.
Yeah.
If you want to watch and give context for the whole conversation, you have to rewind every time. And I had to Google how to start a video from the beginning, which is really annoying and doesn't always work.
Yeah.
So if you play this,
I never got it to work.
I got it to work like half the time. So Google how to, if you play this, Google how to start a video from the beginning. I think watching it the way it gives it to you would be insane.
Yeah.
I don't know why it doesn't start the videos from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Did you just hear the word out of context?
Do they literally start you in the sentence that they say the word? Or actually, they might start you on the word. Like, if you search for the word gun, he's like, my gun, actually, my understanding, he says, like, gun is loaded. Like, you come in like halfway through the sentence. So you have to rewind each and every video. And some of them, like, the rewind's kind of quick, but not fast enough.
Well, you have, like, an 8-minute video, and he says your word in the last minute. It makes you rewind the entire thing.
Yeah.
There's, like, a weird button press you can do to, like, it'll jump back to the beginning. But when it doesn't work, and when it fails, like, when it doesn't work, the weird button press, I can't remember how to do it now. Mm-hmm. The weird button press you got to do fails, and you're stuck holding, sitting there. That's why I was saying the game was almost 10 hours long. I'm rewinding, sitting.
It should literally just be like you could watch the video and then like press Y to start from the beginning or some crap. Yeah, it's
such an easy fix. So just press a button to watch from the beginning, or just have the video start from the beginning.
Yeah. And say like at the bottom of the video, it'd be like word comes in at this time marker or something. So if you don't want to watch the whole video.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, we're saying a little. Like,
it's a complicated way to get through a story that I kind of liked, mostly liked in the end of the whole thing. And I mean, I'd rather just watch a movie about this. Oh, yeah.
Probably, yeah. This was a lot of input.
Yeah, it was a lot of work to put into a story to just kind of like, I enjoyed it, but kind of like, you just get to like, I'm glad this is over, or when is this going to be over?
Yeah.
And you kind of have no, when you're playing, you have no context of when it's going to be over, because sometimes you'll watch a video that's way deep into the process and you're like, am I getting close to the end? And you watch a video that's him talking to his daughter like a week into the freaking FBI stuff, and you're just like,
he's like, well, daddy's about to have to go on an assignment, he's going to be gone for a while.
You get a lot of mixed videos too of varying degrees of his wife being mad at him or not mad at him.
Oh yeah.
It's a, so your emotion roller coaster of this is all over the place because you're watching it out of order. His real wife, not always mad at him. His fake girlfriend's not always mad at him. So you get like this weird roller coaster of what's going on. Which maybe it's how you're intended to experience it, but it kind of makes it kind of hard to cope with.
Again, I don't want to say too much more about it other than I did enjoy it, but it is a little long-winded.
Yeah. I don't know how quickly I'll be jumping on. Well, if Immortality is on Game Pass, we only play Game Pass stuff when it's leaving Game Pass.
Yeah.
We're not a Game Pass podcast. So whenever Immortality leaves, I guess we'll give that a shot too. But we've actually talked about a couple of other more straightforward FMV games on this podcast, and I actually bought a couple of cheap ones. There's a lot now. There's like a FMV renaissance or something like that.
And most of them are being put out by Annapurna Interactive, this one included.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's just a publisher.
They're the publisher, but still.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Are you ready to move on?
Yeah, kind of, because this is so story-driven. If we talk about individual scenes and stuff like that, we're going to get really into,
like, territory.
Like, spoiling everything. And you don't want to, like, go into this kind of knowing too much of what's happening.
Yeah.
I feel like. I would say, I guess it's worth playing.
It's worth playing, but you definitely want to have a guide to minimize the amount of time. And I mean, maybe. Some people like the whole...
We had, a, some people might like, because you're intended to play it to look for the words yourself. We had a keyword, kind of a keyword guide. Like, look for these words and then look for the words, what look like. It's like, type in this word, watch the videos, type in this word, watch the videos, which was a boring way, I guess, to play it, but I don't see how far different that is from being completely lost. Imagine I spent 10 hours with a guide. If I couldn't figure out which word I needed,
Yeah.
It'd be insane.
This is normally a $20 game, $19.99. And that seems fairly reasonable. I mean, like I said, you spent 10 hours with a guide. Without a guide, you could spend a lot of time in there, the mystery. So, I mean, it's not badly priced. Horribly priced. But anyway, you ready to go ahead and move on to our...
Yeah, our next game is actually another game. Man, we got to have a name for episodes where all we play is Game Pass stuff, but we're actually not... I guess I could say not a Game Pass podcast episode. This was on Game Pass and then left Game Pass. It's a co-op game that we played without Brian, but don't tell Brian we did that.
Yeah, he's a nerd. We don't always like hanging out with him.
It's only a two-player co-op. That's kind of why that happened. And it was weirdly only couch co-op, which was strange.
Yeah, I thought that was very strange.
Yeah, pointlessly only couch co-op. But anyway, let's get into our next game.
The next game we're talking about is called Young Souls. So it originally came out August 17th, 2021 on the Google Stadia. And then a little less than a year later, March 10th, 2022, it came out on everything else.
Yeah, after they killed the Stadia.
Basically, yes. Now, it is developed by one-player, two-player studios out of, I'm just going to say France, because I don't want to mispronounce the word, out of France. And so far... they've made just two games. This one and another one called Inside My Radio. And Inside My Radio is fairly similar to... I think that game Thomas was here. It's a side-scrolling platform where you're a block hopping across platforms. Is that...
really? Yeah, that's Thomas Was Alone. They just straight copy that game.
But it's to like a beat. It's got some music to it.
Inside My Radio. Oh, my kids played that game. I've seen that game.
Inside My Radio?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the whole... Oh, that's weird you say that. That's the same company?
It's the same company as Young Souls, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a random
game.
They
did that first and then did Young Souls.
Yeah, on PS4. Like, the whole game's thumping to a beat and you slide around. And the guy's... It's not just a... He's a blob. He's, like, wearing headphones and has a face.
Yeah.
Oh, weird. I've seen that game.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play that game. It looked off. It looked, like, not fun. But he enjoyed it for a little while. But yeah. Oh. That's weird.
That is kind of cool, though.
Would not pair them two games together by the same developer.
Stuff happens. It's a side-scroller hack and slash, right?
This is, yeah.
It's not 2.5, it's just side-scroller, right? Because you do slightly go into forward and background.
Yeah, it's not full 2.5.
But no,
yeah,
so it's
not
just
like, it's not like Little Nightmares or anything. It's more of a... I would say it's more 2D.
Yeah, it's a side-scrolling hack and slash where you play as twins, Tristan and Jin. And it's, from previous episodes, you guys have heard me talk about Troll Hunter. It's very Troll Hunter-y.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of trolls, you're hunting goblins. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole Undercity and all this other fun stuff.
I feel like, I don't know, I could be wrong, but there's like this trend now of putting the word souls in the title of your game.
Mm-hmm.
I think in an effort to get people to click on your game.
Yeah.
Because of the popularity of Dark Souls.
There's no reason.
There's nothing to do with souls.
No.
In this game at all.
Like, you're two young kids, and you are adopted by a doctor / scientist in the town you're in, and there's no, like, there's a mystery as to where the kids came from, sort of. They're like, oh yeah, we don't know where we came from, but it's not actually mentioned anywhere.
That's not, I'm just saying, that's like this weird trend that you'll, it's like, annoying. Like, if I put souls in my game, people will click on it. Like,
yeah, and that would give them, it's like a hotkey keyword to try to get people to
keyword these days.
Get and look at my stuff. Anyway, like we said, it's the combat's, it's just hack and slash, but it does have some decent depth. based on how heavy and how light your character is, you actually have a speed gauge and a weight gauge, and that can determine quite a few things, how fast you swing your weapon and how fast you actually move across the screen. Drew went for a heavy build. I think you used a big old, by the end of it, you're using that big old, I guess, was that a Zanbakuto? Basically that giant sword with a giant attached to a staff in your heavy armor.
I feel like I was changing stuff all the time.
Yeah, and then I was using like ninja robes and dual wielding.
Yeah.
These dual wielding weapons for high DPS. And it was fun. Like the only thing that kind of sucks is because it was couch co-op, even though I was logged in, I didn't get any achievements.
Yeah. So lame.
Now, I did turn it on my own and got like a few, of course. I was like, okay, well, if we play through it, maybe I can play through it on my own and before it left Game Pass. But then I decided not to because it was just going to be a whole lot of work for something I'd already done. Mm-hmm. Did you get your time? We didn't get the 1K in this, did we? Because there was a difficulty thing.
Yeah, we got 8.5 hours. The TA is 6 to 8, but like I don't know where we. But because we tried to play long a little bit more because we tried to do like a new game plus. There's two difficulty achievements that we didn't get. So I got every achievement with the two difficulty achievements, which in hindsight
we probably could have.
We should have just played on the hard because the game has ways. Oh, there's accessibility. Well, yeah, I forgot about that. There's lots of accessibility features. Clearly, like auto block, which was key. So we should have played our first playthrough on the highest difficulty. You just played through the game one time.
Yeah.
The game is a little longer than we thought it was going to be. Maybe a little bit. The game drags. We might have got all. Well, I might have got all the achievements, but I wasn't. When we started playing again a little bit, we were gonna like sprint through it and skip the dialogue, but it kind of was just like, okay, this is too tedious. We've already done all this. We didn't do it, so I did not get all the achievements. But you know, all of them but two.
It's got a nice cartoony graphic style to like a Saturday morning Cartoon Network show or like a mid-2000s Cartoon Network show. I like the art. I like the art quite a bit.
It's these kind of cool looking cutscene things in the beginning, but then it kind of stops doing them.
They do it near like the end, or they rehash the ones from the end, from the beginning, and just elongate them.
It sounds like a little frame story or something.
It's definitely a frame story.
I do kind of like the look of it. We should say we don't like the characters.
I liked him a little better by the end, but for the majority of the time, I didn't much care for him because there's this whole thing. Well, okay, randomly, one of the accessibility features, because it's called Young Souls, because I guess they expect, you know, teenagers and some younger kids to play it because it's colorful and actiony. And one of the accessibility features is to turn off cussing. But at certain points, some of your dialogue choices are like, it's the F word. And it's not censored. It's straight up the F word. So I'm like, what's the point of censoring the cussing if you don't censor all of it? Or why even bother? But what it is a bunch of teenagers, like 14, 16, something like that. And there is, I guess it's like, I know kids cuss. I cussed when I was a kid. It didn't bother me none. But just the way they were doing it, it's like they didn't know how to use cuss words properly.
Yeah, and the writing is so bad.
The writing was not great.
Is this like cussing for the sake of cuss? Like, it's like HBO cussing or Game of Thrones cussing.
We just
like
drop an F-bomb cussing just because.
Cussing for the sake of cussing. And it's just like, this sucks.
Yeah, it was.
This is annoying. I hate these characters because this is like, it was like the dude that was a brother and a sister. It was like the brother's personality.
It was his sister.
It was him that did all the cussing.
Sure, I thought the sister did all the cussing because she was more dominating than domineering.
It was him, wasn't it?
I'm
pretty sure it was him because it's just like it was like the instant his entire personality was cussing for the sake of cussing.
Yeah, so
like that's horrible writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just like, ah, this sucks.
Gameplay is fun and some of the story is fun.
Man, yeah, but playing it, having these people as your main characters was not good. Yeah,
it was a big eye roll being a super moody teenager. And on top of that, there's a couple of like almost pointless features in the game. Like there's a dual money system. You had human money and goblin money. Goblin money is,
I don't mind that though.
Not really, but goblin money is how you upgraded your weapons and your accessories. And human money, it lets you buy sneakers and clothing. Clothing was just
cosmetic.
It is purely cosmetic, but it didn't really serve a purpose because when you run through the dungeon, you're wearing your armor.
It was cosmetic.
Yeah, but it was only available. You can only look at it when you're in town.
Well, it was under your armor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But you were wearing it under your... I mean, it's still there, sort of.
Yeah. It just seemed kind of...
It just didn't do anything.
Yeah. And the sneakers had a bunch of abilities. It was like, pick up money, pick extra experience.
I don't know why the sneakers had magic, but the other clothes didn't. I guess because there was a goblin working at the sneaker store.
Yeah. So it was strange. But, meh. And then, like I said earlier, you get some accessories. Do you remember which one you used? There's like six of them. There's a bomb, a grapple hook, a slowdown clock.
I'll probably use the grapple hook, actually.
And I used the bow from almost the get-go. It's like the first one you get, and I used it the entire game. It was,
yeah, I think I used the grapple hook the whole game.
Pretty awesome. It does have a day-night cycle, sort of, because you only go do goblin stuff at nighttime.
Yeah.
And during the daytime, we do all the city stuff. But in the city stuff, it's literally like, oh, go to the shop, go home and sleep until nighttime. And then, like, so it was like barely, like, what's the point of having a day-night cycle just for funsies, I guess?
Mm-hmm. But the main crux of the game is the, I guess it is dungeon crawling. You do kind of go in these little dungeons under the, there's all this whole little underground goblin dungeons. I forget what they're called.
It's just like the goblin, the Underdark or the
Underdark. That's Trollhunters.
Yeah.
These developers clearly had seen Trollhunters. Like, well, it's
Underdark is Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. I think they only called this Young, besides wanting souls, they called it Young Souls because they could not call it Trollhunters, because
they could have called it Goblin Hunters. Because that's all you're doing.
Trollhunters was swearing.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about two of the most annoying things in the game. Besides the kids and their pointless cussing, I could tolerate that because, again, I remember being a moody teenager and cussing for the sake of cussing. But as you're running through the dungeon, it has traps that are just obnoxious. Like, they weren't necessary.
I think the traps are what kind of annoyed us too much on the
because they would kill us. They would
kill us, yeah.
They would do so much damage. The traps just irked me so bad. And then a part near the end of the game where you have to go on a whole... It was fluff. It was just extra fluff. We had to go on a whole extra dungeon crawl, like multi-floor dungeon crawl, to get these things called spectral weapons to let you hurt ghosts. So you could
so you could run through one level with ghosts.
Yeah. So you could run through literally one floor of the labyrinth, the goblin dungeons, but it was a one hit kill for you and enemies, and that was a little rough, including the boss. The boss was also I think the boss was a one hit thing, but he had all this magic and crap. It's the combat was itself fun, and we would go to town on some people because you had like a special little like twin attack that lets you like warp to one another and you could combo people. The combat was the shining part. Combat was actually surprisingly good, and with the accessories and everything. And once the kids mature a little bit, the story did get better because they stopped the pointless cussing as much, but that was until like literally the 10%.
Kids didn't change at all.
Yeah,
it's looping back around. It's like frame from. He was annoying in the beginning, and it loops back around him being annoying anyway.
Yeah, and then after you move past the point in the frame story, that's when they've matured a little bit. But it's also literally the end of the game. It's like the last chapter of the game.
Yeah, I don't remember them being any less annoying.
There's also a way to level up, which you can only do at nighttime when you went to sleep, go into that stupid happy gym. Well, just let me level up, man. I don't want to do a mini game to level up.
Well, you level up regularly, don't you? And the gym was like bonuses.
Was it bonuses?
The gym was bonuses. Okay,
I guess that makes more sense. It's been a minute.
You get these little gym tokens, and then in the daytime, you go to the gym, play one of these three mini games to raise one of those three stats. It's just button mashing mini games like pedaling on a bike, lifting weights, and what was the other one?
Squats.
Squats. Which,
there's an achievement for getting a perfect and blessed B that was so... That was probably the hardest thing in the game, trying to do one of those stupid things. Yeah. I didn't even get it.
You didn't get none of the achievements.
Mm-mm.
I guess we should play it all again from on your profile.
Maybe.
No, we're never going to do that.
No.
Like I said earlier, I think I got sidetracked, but I said the dungeon stuff is okay. You have a little dungeon map, and you kind of go from area to area, and you get to do like side parts that lead to treasure chests, lead to more equipment, and you get keys. There's varying degrees of keys that you can. I think you get
the gold, silver, and bronze.
Yeah, I think some of them are all of them optional, or do you need some to get through the game?
I think there's the first one. I think is necessary for the game, but everything else is optional.
Yeah, I feel like maybe.
There's that, and there's also those dungeons where you fight the ancient goblin queen or ancient goblin gladiator, and she would teach you, her ghost would teach you a new technique or something. The mausoleums.
Yeah, the mausoleum. I thought she just gave you items.
You had to go through her trial.
Yeah, just beat the heck out of her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we weren't having a hard time. We did turn on like all the accessibility features.
Oh yeah,
me and Blake are big babies.
Big babies. We played on easy and turned on accessibility. That's how big a babies we is.
Yeah, we're not playing this to have a hard time, and especially if accessibility features don't affect achievements, which is a growing trend,
mm-hmm.
which we appreciate
because it's the thing. People are like, we just want people to play our games.
Yeah,
you know.
people who whine about there's still people who whine about accessibility. Optional.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where I get where they're coming from. They're like, you beat the hardest boss in the game on easy with all of the accessibility features on. I beat it on the highest difficulty, but there's no difference. And I was like, and? It's not something I care about. It's a video game, dude.
Yeah, relax.
Chill.
At least I got to play through the whole game.
Yeah, I got to play the game and
accessibility
I had fun.
I think what accessibility does is make sure folks get to experience somebody's entire game.
It makes it more accessible. it's the word. But anyway,
we had auto block, which you probably get a lot of that game just with auto block, because it was kind of on point. We raised our damage or lower the enemy damage. I don't remember all the features. We weren't invincible.
No, we could still die.
You could still die, but like it took a little bit of doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Normally, this game goes for $25.
Yeah,
that seems a little much. Especially considering the fact that this game would have been severely improved if it had, I don't know, voice acting.
Yes, it has some, doesn't it?
It didn't have any, did it? I don't remember any. I remember like, wah, 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 you know, just that stuff when the goblins would talk. That was it. There was no actual voice acting as far as I can remember. I don't think there was any voice acting, but it would have helped. Because some of these goblins, especially the goblin boss, like, I say by the end of it, though, I did feel kind of bad for some of the goblins.
I
like the goblin.
We've talked about this before. You seem like the bad guys in this.
Yes, you do. You definitely seem like, yeah, the goblins are coming up from the from underground to try to like take over this city. But it seems like they're retaking land that we took from them because they were put underground. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of it, like I definitely felt like the aggressor. And yeah. I was like, I feel more sympathy for the goblins than I do these kids.
Yeah, these kids suck, and we're like kicking down doors and murdering all their people.
Yeah.
What was the other game we played with like this?
Remnant.
Remnant from the Ashes, which Remnant 2 is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You play Remnant, you kind of feel like you're the bad guy in large, not in all the levels, but more in the swampy parts.
Swamp part, like, and going to that Mars planet, the desert planet. You're just there kicking these people out of their,
running around their little villages, little tree villages, and just murdering all their people.
And the satyrs, yeah, and the swamp people.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of what I felt like here.
Yeah, like we were literally just kicking the doors in and murdering you and your family.
And there's some like heartfelt moments, like when you kill this person, these goblins that bicker the whole time, you end up killing one of them, and they're like, she's dead? But she's supposed to be alive. I need someone to hate for the rest of eternity. And he gets like so mad, and he's the one, he's responsible for the ghost stuff, because he tries to bring her back to life using ghost magic and ends up backfiring and turning him into a ghost. But still, like, it was like, that's like really heartfelt and kind of cool. Yeah. And sad, but I felt
it was just more interesting because you know, the kids were just like, we're here to kill, blah blah blah, murder murder murder.
Yeah,
and that was their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally talking about their guardian they're trying to rescue, but mostly the kid, one boy was a cussing braggart, I guess, or maybe it was the sister. They're so interchangeable, they're twins, but like one of them was the cussing braggart and the other one kind of was not as bad. But like, so how are you supposed to connect with these characters when they're annoying and you're going around murdering all these, like a lot of it seems like murder.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
There was only one moment where the cussing was kind of funny, and that was, this will be probably the last thing I say about it, and then we can move on. But near the beginning of the game, you're going to meet the mayor or something, and the secretary was like, oh, you know, he has an open door policy, go right on in. And as soon as you walk inside, the mayor yells at you and tells you to get out of his office, and you walk out, and your character looks at her, and he's like, hey, you're a bitch. And that was like the only time where I laughed at it. Other than that, it was just kind of like, ugh, just a big sigh and eye roll. But meh. The game was not awful.
Yeah,
and it's got couch co-op, which is a dying thing nowadays for some reason, and I don't understand why.
I'm not sure what other... I thought there was another couch co-op. Oh, we have... we haven't bought it yet, but they did it to... when they re-released Dark Alliance 1 and 2. Whenever we end up buying and playing those again, which I really want to.
It's only between you and me.
Yeah, they didn't attach online to that, which we played that couch co-op back in the day anyway. Hopefully get achievements. The main thing to do with couch co-op is make sure the other profile get freaking achievements.
Yeah. Well, see, nowadays, back in the day, we had like a 30-inch monitor. Now we have a sectional couch with an 85-inch TV. Yeah. That's wall mounted. We can play some couch co-op. We got plenty of space. Yeah. And it takes up the entire living room. I am ready to move on. If you are, do you have anything else you want to add?
don't know. I feel like we kind of ran through that one kind of quickly. I think I hit all the points, though.
Kids I think are, I did, yeah. Without, like, spoiling the story. Because other than the fact that we felt like we were the aggressors.
Yeah, and that's key when you're playing that game is pay attention.
Read between the lines. Get that subtext going, but we're the bad guys. Like, they're coming in trying to take back what's theirs, and we're like, we're here to get our dad back, or our, you know, Dr. So-and-so, because you don't call him dad, and then you start murdering people, and they're like, they're killing everybody, what do we do? Send, you know, they literally start saying, evacuate the women and children and stuff like that, because you're a menace. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm ready to move on if you are too.
That's fine. Don't quote me on this, but as of the recording of this podcast, the game is on sale for $14.99.
That's not a bad price.
So, but again,
especially if you can play with somebody.
The time the episode comes out, that sale could be over. So sorry about that if you're interested. It was on Game Pass. It's not anymore. I don't know. I'm glad I played it, because the game didn't add anything to my life, really.
It's a game that happened. Unfortunately, I will never, after this record, I will never think of it again, I don't think. Anyway,
that's that.
Sorry to speak so bad of people who put hard work in, because I haven't done anything. I've made a 17 page short story, so, you know,
a whole bunch of podcasts.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't bad, but I
not a developer we'll have our eye on,
especially because you play that, well, you are aware of the other game. So, moving on.
To the last thing.
To our final thing, because I'm doing a double up to make up for Drew's double up of music last time. So, yeah. I did a movie before our guest episode, and now I'm doing a TV show after our guest episode.
Kind of having a hard time pulling TV shows, because we've had a lot of episodes now.
Mm-hmm.
And you've ran through, like, kind of ran through the gamut of TV shows that you are, like, more... Because we watch all the popular TV shows as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid those.
We try to avoid the popular stuff on this podcast, so you're kind of... But you've kind of almost, like, ran the gamut.
No, I can find some stuff.
This seems... I mean, this show's cool and all, but it seems like kind of a stretch a little bit.
I mean, it's a show. It's a good show, and it's fine. So what I'm talking about Todd McFarlane's Spawn, the HBO animated series that ran from May 16th, 97 to May 28th, 99. It was 3 seasons, a total of 18 episodes. Now, a lot of times you can find this and it seems to be broken up and they just combined it and made it 3 movies as opposed to 3 seasons of a TV show, because I have a still book of it and it's just 3 discs and it's each season and it plays it as a movie. And that's a little better, I think. Because they were 22 or half-hour episodes or something like that. There's HBO no commercials. I think it was like right at a half hour plus. Or it's like 28 minutes plus the credits. Now, one kind of random cool thing is it ran, like I said, ran from 97 to 99. And it got occasional reruns on HBO. But one of the weirdest things is it actually got reruns on Cartoon Network's Toonami. But only in Japan, which I thought was strange considering, I mean, it is violent. It's HBO. It's violent. There's a little bit of nudity and language. It's not something that we would put on our TV show, but for some reason, but I just thought that was kind of cool. And also another thing is it was doing well. It got canceled only because around the time HBO's live action stuff was getting more, it started popping off a little bit more, and they had been having cutbacks in their animation division to focus more on live action stuff. So it really only got canceled because they shrunk their animation department so much that they couldn't handle it anymore. And so it was softly canceled, quietly canceled.
It's stupid.
But when it got canceled in the last year, it said May 99, the Emmys that year, it won an Emmy for Outstanding Animation.
Okay. I'm not sure if I've ever actually watched this.
It's not bad. It's Spawn.
The problem is that, like, there's so much Spawn content that this ends so early in the canon.
Oh God, yes, it ends very early in the canon of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me briefly talk about the gentleman who brought it to fruition. The gentleman who developed it. Now, of course, Todd McFarlane created Spawn, but the person who made it for TV is a gentleman. It's a gentleman named Alan B. McElroy. Now, he's primarily a writer, and he's written a plethora of things. It's kind of hard to nail him down, but one of the first things he ever wrote was Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. This is actually really funny. So this show, season 1, ended June of 97. That's season 1 finale. Less than a month later, August 1997, the live-action Spawn movie came out, which he also wrote, starring Michael Jai White. I thought that was incredibly strange.
That movie get made because the movie get made because of the popularity of the HBO show, or is it? Not,
I don't think not so. Really, I think it was in making beforehand because it's hard because animation takes a while, mm-hmm. and for that to come and making a movie takes a little bit too. Anywhere from if you listen to our other podcast, Action the Movie Podcast, you know that some movies are made literally in like 2 weeks, and other movies are made in literally 6 months to a year. It just depends. So I don't know how long they worked on that, but for them both to come out that close together after season one ends and that show began, for all I know, it could have started out as a promotional material, and they kept going.
I think that movie holds up too.
I think it does. I mean, it's a little silly, but it's still good. It's just really proper. And they're still working on making the reboot. Like, they're still like,
Todd's been fighting for it for decades now
because he wants to do it his If those who don't know, Todd McFarlane is very anti-Hollywood. Because they're like, oh, you know, he's very anti, like, the elitist and stuff like that. He's like, let me just do my stuff and put it out there. But they keep, like, vetoing him and stuff like that. And so now he's kind of, like, biting the bullet. And he's kind of being a little, being a little more Hollywood now. Because he was going to direct it himself. But he's like, I don't think the producers and stuff in Hollywood would give us the money and stuff that we want if I say I'm making a movie about my own stuff. And so he's like, he's shopping around for a slightly bigger Hollywood director, and he is going to cast more A-listers. Because as of right now, and it is confirmed, and Jamie Foxx has still said, he's like, oh yeah, I can't wait. He's like, but they're just trying to bang out a couple of details, but I will be Al Simmons' Spawn when it comes out. As of right now, that is still me, and that was like less than a year ago. And in March, Tom McFarlane was talking about he's shopping around for a director because he's decided he won't direct it because he's afraid Hollywood will fight back.
Insane.
Yeah. Because he's very anti-Hollywood. Like, if you listen to his interviews and stuff, he's like, Hollywood's stupid. Everyone who works in this industry is retarded.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious.
Yeah. But so whenever it comes out, I will be excited when it does come out.
Yeah. As long as they don't, like, Marvel-fy it.
They won't.
There's no way.
He's already said, he's like, this won't be the modern superhero. He's like, this will be Spawn all the way. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and that's another reason why they're fighting him on it. He's like, have you not read the comic book or seen the TV show or seen anything? Like, it's violent. It's everything. Yeah. But they're just stupid. But okay, back to other stuff he's done. He also wrote the original Wrong Turn, as well as the 2021 semi-remake. He wrote both.
Yeah. I didn't watch the remake, but they're pseudo-related. Me and my wife watched all the whole Wrong Turn franchise. Mm-hmm. Could we just do this randomly? We just pick a horror franchise and just watch them all sometimes. And that some of those are better than others. I mean, and they're all completely different than the first movie. The first movie is way more normal and grounded as compared to the rest of them. It gets really, really wacky.
Oh yeah. But besides that, he's like I said earlier, it's hard to nail him down. I just said a bunch of like dark and horror things. But he's also responsible for the 2009 Tekken movie, as well as 72 episodes of a TV show called 7 Days, and it's a New Zealand game show, which I thought was incredibly strange. And then he would go on to direct a couple episodes of Vampire Diaries, and then another show called Night Shift, which is like a nighttime medical drama that ran for a couple seasons, like 45 episodes, and he wrote 10 of the 45. And then something else called Sacred Lies, and he wrote half the show.
Never heard of any of this stuff.
Well, I think Sacred Lies, I think it was on some random network and then got bought by Peacock, and so it's on the Peacock network, and I think it's still going right now. They're working on a third season, and he's written 10 of the 20 episodes so far. And then he would go on to, I think his current thing he's working on is Star Trek Discovery. And like I said, he's involved in it. Star Trek Discovery only has 55 episodes so far, and he's written 17 of them. So when he does something,
that's big involvement.
Yeah, when he does something, he's in it. So I think that's pretty cool. That's why his roster wasn't huge, because when he does something, he doesn't until it's done or they don't want him anymore. But that being said, this, unfortunately, I thought the show was great. It follows the comic book. It's gritty. It's dark like it's supposed to be. And it's awesome. I love the animation. It was really good, like really good 90s animation, like definitely by, what's his name, Tom McFarlane, heavily involved in it, of course, doing some of the stills and stuff like, this needs to look like this. Or he would draw like the final image. He's like, what have you got to do? it needs to end like this and make it look like this. And so it was really good. Especially some of the stuff was ripped straight from the comic. Like, they took stills and just animated them, and they were really good. The main, I'm going to talk about one other person, and he's the voice actor for Spawn. And I love, 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 love this actor because this is a voice role. I'm not going to talk about any of his live action stuff. I'm only going to talk about his other voice roles and how much we enjoy him. I'm talking about Keith David. Fantastic voice actor. Of course, he's Al Simmons, always. Like I said, he has like over 300 or 400 roles. So it's impossible.
Yeah.
So I broke it down to strictly just voice acting roles. And even then, I think I wrote down too many, so I probably won't touch all of them. But some big ones that people will know. Kind of one cool one is he in Princess and the Frog, the Disney movie Princess and the Frog. He is the main villain, Dr. Facilier. Dr. Facilier. He is also the voice of the cat in Coraline, which we've spoken about a couple of times, more recently on the Little Nightmares episode. And in Rick and Morty, which is pretty prominent, he is the president of the United States. He gets into battles all the time with Rick.
Haven't heard Keith David and Rick and Morty?
Yeah, he's the president. Have you seen the episode where Morty wants the president's autograph and they have that huge epic battle in the White House and you've seen it.
I don't remember that at all.
You've seen it. He's also the Flame King for a couple episodes in Adventure Time. Mm-hmm. He is the voice of Goliath in Gargoyles. Huge 90s show that I love, but I haven't seen it recently, but I think I still love it. It's a fantastically written show. And he would go on to do, this is actually kind of cool, he plays a character named Julius Little, but he also plays himself after that character dies in the Saints Row franchise. And I think at one point he was President Keith David, I think in the third one, before the main character takes over in 4. I love Keith David so very much. Speaking of him voicing Spawn, they did a cool thing in Mortal Kombat 11. Spawn is a playable character, and he revised the role. Reprised the role and did new voice work and everything for it, and it's awesome.
There's been a couple of other Spawn video games across the years. Surely he's reprised the role for all that, yeah?
He is Spawn. No one else will ever be Spawn.
Except for Jamie Foxx.
And Michael Jai White. But that's live action. There's a difference. Because, I mean, as much as I love Keith David, he is an older gentleman. So I don't think maybe when he was young, he probably could have did it. It would have been awesome. But he's just got that deep, resonating voice. And the fact, like I said, Dr. Facilier in The Prince and the Frog, he does some song and dance numbers, and he does the singing for those as well. So he's a very, very talented actor.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Another episode we actually talked about, Darksiders Genesis. It's a game we talked about way early on, like episode 28 or something like that. He's the voice of the main bad guy, Moloch. So I thought that was also worth mentioning. I'm not going to keep reading off his IMDb page, but he's fantastic. Oh, well, if you listened to last episode, you did hear us talk about Halo 5 Guardians, and he is the lead Arbiter.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. Arbiter Fel Vadim, however you pronounce it. I'm almost done. I'm just going to speak about one other character. Shea comes in season 3 of the show. She plays an angel named Jade. Sent there to kill Al Simmons, and she is voiced by Ming-Na Wen, someone we also love, who is amazing. And you'll hear me, if you want to hear me talk more about Ming-Na Wen, you should go listen to our Action, the movie podcast episode, where we talk about Final Fantasy Spirits Within, because she voices the main actress in that, Aki Ross, Dr. Aki Ross. But with that, no, hold on. Okay, there's a tiny bit of controversy that happens. Is there's a mobster that they drew. He's in the comic book and he's in the TV show as well. His name is Tony Twist, and he's a mobster who, like, you know, he has like prostitutes making out on his couch while he's in a, you know, in a business suit ordering the kidnapping of a child. You know, he's just a big, you know, he's a mafioso. Now, his name is Tony Twist, and in 1989 to 1999, there is a hockey player for the NHL named Tony Twist, and he played for the St. Louis Blues and the Quebec Nordiques. He would go on to successfully sue them, HBO, for defamation for using his name.
Even though he was in the comic?
Yeah. Well, they didn't. I don't think they named him after him, but the fact that his name, the character's name was Tony Twist, and his name is Tony Twist, and it's just incredibly they to the point that they didn't use the character again, because I think that was in season one, and they just didn't use him in season. Did they? He get killed off screen, and his second command took over because they were like, oh, let's just not deal with it. So same story, slightly different personality. I don't know how much. I think they just sued for defamation, and they made him stop using the name. I don't think he actually got a payout for it, because I don't think people are going to watch.
Who cares?
Apparently, that hockey player did. He's like, I'm a good guy. I don't want my name being associated with a mobster who is killing people and selling drugs and in prostitution. It just brings a bad name.
You mean a mobster who ain't real?
Yeah. Anyway, people are stupid sometimes.
All the time.
But that being said, it said it's HBO, so I'm sure you can find it on HBO Max and stuff. Mm-hmm. Can you confirm that real quick, Drew?
If it's from HBO, it's on HBO Max. They own it.
You'd think. Okay, you just want to make sure all three seasons are streaming on HBO. I just wanted to make sure, because you never know. But with that being said, I don't have anything else to add.
Okay, that's fine. So we'll wrap this thing up then. We're going to go see, speaking of movies, I want to date the podcast. We're going to go see Transformers after this podcast.
Beast Within.
Probably going to be another generic Transformers movie, but we'll see what happens. With that, I want to thank Jared Jones and the guys of Emerge for letting us have the song Letting Go from them to use as the intro for our podcast. That's awesome. And like I always say, it's debatably the best part of the podcast. So don't blame you if that's the only part you hear. I also want to thank Mladen Markovic, a.k.a. Devious Pixel, for the art we have for the podcast, including the new art we just had. For our previous guest, Texican. So go find Texican on all his socials and stuff like that too, and follow him and watch his Twitch streams. He's a pretty good guy. It's a lot of fun. I want to thank Brian for continuing to edit the podcast. We really appreciate that. It takes a load off my shoulders so I can edit the other podcast. We have Action, the movie podcast. Come to our streams. Follow us at twitch.tv/twosmokingcontrollers and come hang out when we stream all our co-op games with Brian. We've been having a lot of fun with the different games. I say a lot of fun. We had some fun with Monster Hunter, but less fun than some other games than Monster Hunter. I think our next episode we're recording with that is, it's going to be kind of an awkward, because I guess our last one was Dark Souls. So our next one is, we've talked about having two games on that episode, because we beat one game in two sittings and then the next game wasn't good. So we'll talk about that and make fun of whoever picked that second game.
Mm-hmm. Whoever that could possibly be. So, we'll never know.
Well, so anyway, thanks to everybody, all that same stuff. And with that, I'm done, and I'll let Blake wrap it up.
It's really hard to find taglines for TV shows, so I don't really have one, so I'm not going to worry about it. I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night.